Right. Thank you, Jonathan. Praise team. Jonathan and I have the uniform on today, blue shirt, dark pants. He said that he was my wingman this morning. And if you learned anything from Top Gun, you learned never leave your wingman, right? That's right. Well, yesterday, Melanie and I, we took Ellen and took our daughter Ellen back to college. And good news is she's no longer on the first floor. She's on the third floor. And so there's 58 steps. I had lots of opportunity to count them. And so just getting off the chair here, it's like, oh, my word. I'm like, oh, there's three steps up here. I'm never going to make it. So if I get a stool and sit down, you'll know why. But she's back off to college. And happy for her to be there. A few weeks ago, I was up here. Don brought me up here, and we said something about I was talking to a church, looking for a pastor. I just kind of want to update you on a couple things. So that particular church had been talking to, we're not pursuing that anymore. Melanie and I were supposed to go down actually Labor Day weekend and preach at that church. So that's not going to happen. However, we are still going to Virginia Labor Day weekend, and I'm going to interview with the church there, just so you know. So please be praying for us to have Winsome. We are just looking for a place that we can continue to serve the Lord, and that's what we're after. If it's here forever, that's great. No good for you, but it's great for us. All right, Psalms 37. I'm going to read all of this. I'm not going to ask you to stand because it is kind of long, but I am going to read all of this. It's a lengthy passage. but if Dick Mayhew can make it through Psalm 119, I should maybe be able to make it through Psalms 37. So Psalms 37. Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draws the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart. Their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish. Like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land. But those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong. For the Lord upholds his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old. You have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good. So shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I've seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree, but he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for a man of peace, but transgressors shall altogether be destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your graciousness and your love and your mercy. Thank you for bringing us here this morning that we can open up your word, your very words, Lord, in front of us and consider them. Lord, speak to our hearts and minds this morning. Teach us your truthness and how we need to apply it, how we need to see this world and trust in you with everything that's going on. Lord, I thank you that your promises are true. We count on them. We trust in them, Lord, and you will never fail us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ and your great gift to us through him. Lord, if there's anybody here today, they don't know where they're at. They don't know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, I pray you'll press upon them the truth of their situation as we're going to see in this passage, Lord. Lord, I thank you that to be in Christ and to be in you, and that we can count on you in all things, that your word is good and it is great. Lord, fill our hearts and minds with it this morning. We give you praise and thanks in your name. Amen. Right. Well, there's a lot here in this passage for sure. All right, good. Psalms 37 reads like a classic Proverbs. In Proverbs, you have this back and forth all the time, this contrast between wickedness and righteousness, between wisdom and foolishness. And you just see that a lot of times in Proverbs. And this psalm is just like that. If you pick this up and dropped it in the Proverbs and you're reading Proverbs, you'd never know. You'd never go, oh, that's a psalm. Because it looks like all the other Proverbs, and it's just really neat the way that it's written. Psalms 37 instructs the righteous not to worry about the apparent success of the wicked. Now, Psalm 73 is very, very similar. Different writer, but very similar, if you want a kind of a companion reading on that. Now, something, I don't have it in your notes, and I should have, and I forgot. We need to just talk about something really quick. So we have a contrast between the wicked and the righteous. And if at all you're thinking in your mind, hey, doesn't the Bible said there is none righteous? And if there's none righteous, who is this? So we need to talk about that just a little bit. And so I think it's self-evident who the writer is addressing. There are those who are with God and those who are not. And you're one or the other, and there's no middle ground. You're one or the other. And if you think about Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, right? Because he believed God. His faith and his trust is in God. And even in Philippians 3:9 says that the righteousness is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. That's who the righteous are. This is not about people who are perfect. This is not about people who do the right thing all the time and who are self-righteous and righteous in themselves. That's not who this is. These are those of us and the readers at this time who have placed their trust in God. That trust is there. So we need to know who the righteous is before we get going. And the aim of this particular psalm is to encourage the godly to go on trusting God despite the apparent injustices in life in which the ungodly succeed and get ahead, and they are doing well, and they are just plain getting away with everything. And this is an encouragement to those that are in God, to the righteous, to just take it easy, and we're going to trust in the Lord. It's written by David, and it's written by David when he is old. And we know that in verse 25, he says, I have been young, and now I am old. He is looking back with a desire to pass along wisdom to a younger man, perhaps his son Solomon, probably just to any of us who will listen. Well, we're gonna go pretty much verse by verse. I'm not gonna cover every verse, but we're gonna take a couple of passes through this and take a look at what's in here. We're gonna be looking at three things. What's the destiny of the unrighteous. What's the destiny of the wicked? And then what are the directions given to the righteous, those in God, those in Christ, and what's the reward of those who have their trust in God? So we're going to go through that. I'm going to be trying to focus on the good news for the righteous, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So the beginning of the psalm starts with a warning and a rebuke. It says, "Fret not because of wrongdoers. Fret not because of wrongdoers, evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers." The instruction is given because we can easily find ourselves looking out at the craziness that's in this world and saying, oh no, what are we going to do? And how many are like, you're news people, you watch the news every day. Oh my word, I don't know how you can do it. Right? And if that's all you get, things look bad. You know why things look bad? Because things are bad. Yeah, I mean, what do you expect? It's a world without God. We should not be surprised, and we should not expect anything different. And so it's that way, but boy, we get looking at that, and it's the wicked who garner the attention, and it's the wicked who seem to be getting ahead, and selfish, hedonistic people making $20 million a year who don't feel it's enough have millions of followers. How can this be? And here we are trying to do our best. Hey, how's trying to do it right? How's that working for you? You getting ahead? Oh, man, we can trip up on that in a heartbeat if we don't have the right perspective of what's going on and who's really in charge of this whole thing anyhow. And we're going to consider that this morning. So we are told, fret not, fret not. Now the phrase fret not, it's a little light. The idea is to not be incensed or not be inflamed. It's much, much stronger than fret not. Fret not, hey, you know, don't worry about it, fret not. You know, it's kind of a light sounding thing the way we use it not. But it's don't be incensed. It's the kind of thing that works us up to where we go and we get worked up, and we'll go do something radical. It's the thing that leads to kind of radical, spontaneous, foolish, violent acts. We're told to not do that. Fret not. Don't get worked up about it. So we let things get to us when we focus on them. And my heart gets far from God when I focus on something different. We need to be very, very careful of what we're focused on. The news and the media and our world demands our attention because it's right in front of our face all the time. You can't escape it. You'd have to leave the world, right? You can't. So it's there. And I understand and I get it. And it's pressure on us and we see it all the time. But we cannot be focused on that. We need to stay focused on God and the one who is in control of this. Instead of fret not, maybe it should say, don't get all riled up. That would just look kind of weird in your Bible if you read, do not get all riled up. So that's why I'm not translating. So God says, don't get upset about it because they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Now, I've had a lot of rain lately. I mow my yard like twice a week now. Finally got some rain. I love July. It doesn't rain. I don't mow. I like that. Right now I'm mowing. Every 2 weeks, man, I'm mowing. But it's the end of August. In a couple of months, it'll be in the end of October. I'm hardly going to mow at all. In another month, the grass will be covered with snow. It is for a season, and the wicked is like that. And we need to remember, we're thinking long term. We think eternity. And right now, who's getting ahead? The wicked are getting ahead. It's only for a season. It is a short amount of time, and we need to remember and have that perspective. They are temporary. Their success is temporary, and their prosperity is only earthly. And it has no future, and it has no real value. So what is the end of the wicked? What is the end of evildoers? What happens to them? I'm going to float down through this psalm again. We're going to pick at some verses, and I'm going to go kind of quickly. But verse 2, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. We talked about that. Verse 9, for the evildoers shall be cut off. Verse 10, in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. We see a similar kind of thing in Psalms 146. It says, do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. People keep looking for other men and women to save us and rescue us and make our world right. And that is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And when they're gone, so are their plans. We are entering the crazy season. That's the election time. Jonathan loves this time of year. He loves this kind of stuff. And it's going to drive the rest of us crazy, right? I mean, just we're going to vote for these people. And we do the best we can. Go vote. Do the right thing. But there are some that are looking to those men and women to rescue us. And they can't. The only one who can is the Lord God Almighty. We need to remember that. We do the best we can, and we make sure that we vote for good people. But man, if your plan is that they're going to rescue everything, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. And so as we come into this crazy season, keep that in mind as we banter about, you know, some of these things. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. All right? So verse 10, keep going. Verse 10, verse 10 starts out with, in just a little while. When God says in just a little while, what does that mean? God's got all the time in the world. I mean, literally. I mean, he invented it, right? And it's hard to be patient. So when God says, in just a little while, oh man, this is taking forever. I mean, God just is slow sometimes, right? Don't you feel that way? But he's not. And we even get to Revelations and we see the saints around the throne saying, Lord, how long before we are avenged? And he says, just a little while. And so we're being told here, wait, in just a little while, we are not patient. God's little while is not our little while, and we need to understand that. Verse 13, the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. Verse 15, their swords shall enter their own heart, their bows shall be broken. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, meaning they won't have any power or ability on their own. Verse 20, but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, they vanish away. Right now, you know, we're getting at the end of the growing season. There's a few farms around here, not a lot, but you can go by and there's, you know, just corn this high and there's beans still being, and there's stuff out in the fields. And pretty soon we'll be going to the apple orchard and stuff like that. And in just a few months, it'll be gone. Because just like the pastures, it comes and it goes. And that's just the cycle of the wicked. They don't last. Nothing like that lasts. And we have to wait on that and notice that is true. Keep going. Verse 28, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. And we saw this phrase cut off a couple times in this passage. Now, as he writes here and he uses this phrase cut off, he's talking about future inheritance and the types of thing that lasts throughout generations, and the wicked have none of that. They don't have anything that's really going to last of any length of time that matters. I mean, time's a long time. Eternity's a long time. We drove from Pennsylvania home yesterday. It was a long way, but it wasn't eternity. In Ohio, it seems like it, but it's not. You know? More nothing. You drive another 100 miles, oh, it's more nothing. And it's like, it seems forever, but it's not forever. And we get fooled by our temporary lives sometimes. And what is forever? And our God is forever. He's the only thing forever. And we need to remember that when we are upset about the wicked. They will be cut off. They have no future. Look at verse 36. We're at the end. Again, I said we're going to float through this a couple times. Verse 36 is a repeat of verse 10. But he passed away, the wicked, he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Those people who seem to be powerful, eventually they will be gone. And history is full of them, full of men and women who have had great might and great power and have ruled over great kingdoms. The great Roman Empire didn't last all that long. It was powerful. It was influential to the world. And the Caesars were mighty. But where are they now? It passes away. Where are the Caesars now? We use them as cartoons to sell pizza. It's temporary. That power and that might is temporary. Hail mighty Caesar with breadsticks, right? I mean, all. Bad slide before lunchtime. I'm sorry. I never thought about that till right now. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'll rethink that next time. So looking at the surface of everything, we might be inclined to envy those who are apparently getting ahead, but they are wicked. And this is so important. This is where just the practicalities of what we believe have to kick in. What you know about God, what you know about Scripture has to kick in and say, oh, I need to think about this differently. It looks like they're winning. It looks like they're getting ahead, but it's temporary. But my God has this. Justice will be served. The righteous will be rewarded. And we have to keep that in our minds because we can get wrapped up in what's going on just so easy. Just so easy, and he's telling us, fret not, don't worry. What you see is only for a short amount of time. I am the holder of eternity. And we need to take refuge in this. And like it says in verse 13, in the end, I like this, verse 13, in the end, the wicked, his day's coming. Now, we need to be really careful here. His day's coming, because some of us will nod our head. And we nod our head because we have a vengeful heart. Yeah, they're going to get theirs. They deserve theirs. It needs to be punished. God's going to take care of that someday. You want, the wicked don't need to be punished. They need Jesus Christ. And we need to be really careful about our attitudes towards the nastiness going on in the wicked. For one thing, you need to remember that's who you used to be before Jesus Christ got a hold of your heart. Who's the wicked? It's you without Jesus Christ. Don't forget. And so before you want them to get theirs, remember, we're not getting ours because of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. So their day's coming, but until their day's come, it is your job and my job to go tell them about Jesus Christ and to tell them they can have a different day if they'd like, right? What an encouragement. What a great offer to be able to give somebody. Our job is to spread that gospel. Now, sandwiched between a couple of verses here, because we read a lot of verses here about the fate of the wicked, but sandwiched in between there, verse 16, better is a little that the righteous has than the abundance of the wicked. And so verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 17 are about the fate that awaits the wicked. But 16 gets thrown in here and tells us it is better to have only a little bit and to be righteous than to have a lot and be the wicked. And it tells us something about the value of righteousness. Do you value the things that are right? Do you? Off the cuff, it's one of those questions that, well, you'd be a fool not to answer yes, but do you? How do you? What does it look like in your life? Do you value righteousness? Do you value the things that are good? Can you be satisfied with goodness? We are better off being in the righteousness of God and having very little of monetary earthly value. Righteousness is so important. It is part of that transaction that takes place when we accept Christ as our Savior. We place our trust in Jesus Christ and we repent. He takes away our sins and he gives us the righteousness of God. It's important. Salvation is the thing we need in the end. It's very, very important. It's the most valuable thing that I think we can get. Or do you like righteousness? So this prosperity, the prosperity of the wicked, it's in sharp contrast to the directives that are given to believers and the directives that are given to us to store up treasures in heaven that last forever. The things that are eternal, the souls of others, the glory of God, those things are eternal, and that's where our time and our efforts and the things that we love, that's where the things we love should be. What are we doing with our time? I like to say Christians should not spend time. They should invest time. They should invest time in the people and the things that matter and are valuable forever. The souls of men and women and the glory of God. That's where our time needs to go. And so right now, almost kind of halftime, this is time for you to stop and consider. I don't know everybody here. This is time for you to stop and consider, who are you? Because there's only two people, and they're both mentioned here in this passage. There's the righteous, and there's the wicked. There are those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ, and their faith is in God, and there are those who aren't. There isn't a middle ground. There aren't just the people who are trying to do well, because if you're just trying to do well and trying to be good, you're the wicked. I'm breaking that to you from God's word, not myself. Who are you? The wicked has no hope. Nothing to look forward to. Anything that even seems of earthly value will eventually be taken away. Who are you? If you're the unrighteous, your time is short. You'll leave the world without anything to a fate far worse. You'll be cut off. Look at the words we looked at. You'll be cut off. You'll wither away. You'll be burned. Those are the words you just read. You may have plans in your head, but God laughs at you because your day is coming. You won't dodge it, and you won't postpone it. Hebrews 9 is appointed unto man wants to die, but after that, the judgment. That's the fate right now. If you've not placed your trust in Jesus Christ, let today be your day. Your only hope lies in the completed work of Jesus Christ, who died for your wickedness and your sin, and he wants to give you his righteousness because you don't have any of your own. He wants to take away your sin. He wants to give you a perspective on life that is everlasting, it's eternal. You'll see and you'll be able to discern the things that are truly of importance. The Bible cannot be clearer than Psalms 37 that things will not turn out in your favor. So if that's you, I beg you, look to Jesus Christ today. Consider where you're at in this passage. But for believers, if we were not to stop fretting, well, what else am I going to do with my time? You know, if I can't just sit around and worry about what's on TV, what am I going to do? So what are we going to do? Let's look down at the verses, and I just want to grab a couple of the verses and first words in some of these verses. They're directive, they're action words for us. So let's look down, go back to verse 3. And we see trust, right? Trust in the Lord and do good. We see trust. Verse 4, delight. Verse 5, commit and trust. Verse 7, be still. Verse 8, refrain. Verse 27, turn away. Verse 34, wait. This is what believers, that's what we're instructed to do. Be doing these things. Don't stop fretting, stop worrying, stop getting all riled up. Go, and these are the actions that we should be doing. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. He is the one who exists. He's the one who always exists, and he's got it. And he says, don't fret. Stop worrying. Trust. He is going to take care of it. And the rest of the phrase of verse 3 is, and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Even when other men and women are not doing good, we are told to go and do good. It's expected of us. Go and do good. For we are created in Jesus Christ to do good works. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I love this verse because of something that we can get out of this. Before we came around, before you were born, before you made any decision of any kind, God had prepared for things for you to do when you are in him. Go and find them. Your things that God has prepared for you is different than my things. I am having a hard enough time vine and doing my things. I don't have time to worry about yours. So you go and you do the things that God has prepared for you to do. And you go and you do good. And you show the love of God everywhere you go. And you show the graciousness of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And we should walk in those good works. Go and do them. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Don't be satisfied or dissatisfied with what others are doing. Be satisfied in God and what he's doing. And one of the things that he does and he is continuously doing, he is saving your soul. He never lets you out of his hands. You will always be kept. Your soul will always be safe, and he will take you to the end. Delight in that. And don't get riled up in what everybody else is doing, whether they're doing good or bad. Be satisfied in God and in God only. He will take care of the evildoers, so don't be one of them. Are you delighted in God and who he is? The promise that goes with this particular verse, this particular action, is, and he will give you the desires of his heart. That should remind you of Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's first. We do that first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Doesn't give you everything you want. The first thing you want and need to ask God for, what do you want? God, I want to have your desires. God will give you his desires, and he will fill those desires in your heart. Those things have to be first. Do you desire God and the things of righteousness first? Think in those things. And don't worry about what those who reject God are doing. Next is verse 5. Verse 5 says to commit. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Are you committed to a cause? Are you committed to the one who causes? There's a big, big difference. There's people wanting our time and our money and our efforts to be committed to whatever cause that they're up for. And there's all kind. We have raised protesting to the highest level of good. Let's go. I'm going to make our voice heard. Well, now your voice has been heard. What now? I don't know. I just want my voice to be heard. Okay, well, And so everybody's out there. Everybody's got a group. It's a group for everything. I like the guy who just goes along and says, I'm in protest. I've seen it a couple times. He says, I'm protesting. He just shows up a lot of different things, and he just has signs, I'm protesting. Funny guy. I've caught him in a couple interviews, and he's like, oh, I just go wherever they're all, and I'm just protesting. I don't know. What do you got today? Love his attitude about it. Because that's what's going on. He recognizes the nonsense of it. There's a cause for everything. If I see, look, hang with me on this one. I love animals. I love dogs. I love cats. I love dogs. If I have to see one more commercial about starving dogs, look, dogs shouldn't be mistreated. They shouldn't be abused. Oh, man, if I have to see one more thing asking me for money for an animal, when the world is falling apart, and there are people who are starving and being abused, and my neighbor is going to hell, I don't want to see one more commercial. I can't stand it. And your cause may be okay, but it's not the cause of Christ. And that's what we're called to. Those other things aren't all bad, but man, go with the one who causes and not just the cause. Are you committing to God's ways and his goals and his purposes? Do God's work, trust in him, and we're told, and he will act and wait upon the Lord. Verse 7, be still and wait patiently. And while you're waiting, don't just sit there and stew. While you're waiting, verse 8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Again, we are reminded about what verse 1 says. Fret not because of evildoers, and so don't get angry. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. And don't fret or work yourself up into a frenzy. Verse 8 and 9 is very, very similar to verses 1 and 2. David is saying something to us again. Why would you say something to somebody again? Why do you tell your kids the same thing all the time? You want them to know that thing, right? Don't paint the toilet seat purple, right? Why? Don't want them to paint the toilet seat purple. So we repeat things because it's important. And when that comes around in Scripture, we need to say, wow, this guy just keeps saying the same thing. It's because it's important. And David has rolled back around here to remind us again to refrain from anger, forsake wrath, don't worry about it. It's only going to lead to evil on our part anyhow. They will be cut off. Wait on the Lord. And so he's reiterating that same thing in 8 and 9. So what happens to the faithful who trust and delight and commit and are still and refrain and turn away and wait on the Lord? What's in it for us, right? Verse 4, he will give you the desires of your heart. We talked about that already. Now, a phrase that comes up several times, five different times in this passage, is a phrase that comes up. It talks about inheriting the land. We are told five times, that those who have placed their trust in the Lord, who are trusting in God, they will inherit the land. Now, for Israel specifically, they were interested in the land and the kingdom that the offspring of David would have. And that's what David's writing about here for the Israelites specifically. The offspring of David will sit on the throne forever. Now, for us, it's similar in that is the covenant blessing of God that has made all who place their trust in Jesus Christ. It is the covenant that brings salvation and everlasting life with Jesus Christ. We will inherit a place to dwell in the presence of God for eternity. A place to dwell in the presence of God for eternity. That's good news. And our end is assured, and it is good. In verse 11, it says, you will have abundance. Peace can exist even when there is conflict and difficulties. It's a peace of knowing God, and that knowing God has your situation. It doesn't mean your situation gets better. It means he will take you through it. It doesn't mean that God solves all your problems. It means that he'll give you peace through it. And those times are difficult. And in a room this size, there's probably somebody here, and this is where you're at. You're lacking in peace. Something's hard, and you need the peace of God. And he offers that to those of us who are trusting in him and his ways. Although it looks out of control of us, God has it. He is huge, and he is in control. Verse 18, our heritage will remain forever. What God has promised us will never be taken away. Salvation is forever, life is eternal, and heaven never ends. Revelation 22 says, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So one of my goals this year, I want to read the New Testament through three times. I've just finished my second time, so I just read this verse just a couple weeks ago. And this is where we're headed. Again, Revelation 22, and night will be no more. We will have no need of light or sun, for the Lord our God will be our light. And we will reign forever and ever. Oh, man, I don't know what other kind of deal somebody's offering you. But man, that's what we offer those who don't know Jesus Christ. Who doesn't want that? Man. We have something to offer those who are struggling, who don't have peace, and they're storing up treasure that won't last. And we have a Lord that we can be with forever and ever. Verse 21 and 22. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. We are to be generous because we trust in God's provision. I can give away because I know God's going to take care of me. And let me just stop right here and say, so we're coming up on our 30th anniversary. Melanie and I have been here 29 years. Lakes has been an incredibly generous church. And praise God for your generosity. I want to commend you for it. But it is a characteristic of those who are believers and those who are Christians. We should be generous. Now, don't be foolish. I'm going to sell everything I have and give it away. Well, if you really think God wants you to do that, please talk to me first, okay, before you get too off the rails. But we should be generous. Why? Because God will take care of us. We can afford to be generous because our God owns everything. And so if you're afraid to be, go be and watch God act. So we delight, verse 23, we delight in God and he will establish our steps. Verse 23 is the steps of man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hands. So in verse 23, we delight in the Lord and he will establish our steps. And establish here means to make in order. We know which way they are and they will be firm and not slippery or not something that will give way. They are made firm. They are made solid. And if we stumble, though we might fall, he will not be cast headlong. So if we stumble, we won't just go sprawling because the great Jehovah God will hold us up. Melanie, several years ago, we were in, David Knudsen was an intern at this little tiny town in Virginia called Cape Run. It's in the peanut country of Virginia, if you know where that's at. If you don't, there's no reason to go there. I've been there. Save you a trip. It's just brown everywhere. So he was there. He's a youth pastor, being the youth pastor intern. And I came down to speak at their like 3-day youth camp thing. So I came down and I was the speaker. Well, one of the things we did, we took him on an activity. We drove back into Lynchburg, Virginia, and we took him ice skating because there's nothing to do in Cape Run but pick peanuts. And I was not interested. So we drove back into Lynchburg and we went to the ice arena. We were going to go skating. Now, how many of you have been ice skating? Okay, let me ask, how many of you have not been ice skating? Never been ice skating? Okay, only a few, right? Ice skating. So it's ice skating. It's an ice arena. What do you think the temperature is in it? So I got all these Southern Virginia farm kids, and so Melanie and I, I got a jacket, I got jeans on, and I brought gloves. Well, so our kids had short shorts on and tank tops. I'm like, oh, they've never been to an ice arena before. But it's an ice arena. I don't know. I don't know what public school's doing down in Southern Virginia. I'm a little concerned. Anyway, so we get there, and so they're doing the same thing you did the first time you ice skated. You know, you crawl along the boards. We've all done it. Legs are flying and whatever. And this one girl there, junior high girl, I said, hey, come with me, I'll take you around. Because all of us Northerners know how to skate. I was told that. In their minds, I thought I was dreaming this until I started talking to them. In their minds, we all skate in the pond in our backyard. You've seen it on TV a million times. I swear to you, I had conversations with several of them. Oh, you skate all the time. Where do you think I skate? Well, on the lakes. Turn the TV off. What are you doing? Come on. So it was, they thought we skated all the time, but so I could skate a little. I don't skate well. And I got her. And I said, look, come with me. I'll take you around. You can't just crawl along the board the whole time. That's not ice skating. Let me go with you. No. I said, come on. I said, I'll fall. Yes, you will. But I'm gonna have you. You hold on to me. I'm not going to go fast. I said, I don't skate all that well. I'm not going to go fast. Skate with me. So we got going. I was going just a little bit. And I said, bend your legs, because she started out like this. I said, bend your knees and go. And so I'd skate. I just got going a little bit. And she wanted to stay near the board. And so she kept grabbing the board. I said, look, you can't grab the board, or we're both going in the boards. And so she had to let go of that enough to trust that I was going to hold her up. And she didn't know me. I just met her a day before, right? And so we're skating. I got going a little bit faster. And sure, her legs would go, and she'd slip, and she'd wobble. You know, if you skated, you know what that's like. And she'd wobble. And a couple times she'd go down it. I would just stiffen my arm. I had her. It wasn't a smooth ride, and it wasn't a fast ride. We got about three-quarter way around, and then her feet didn't slip. She caught the toe pick. Yeah, same reaction the first crowd. Yeah, because you've done it, right? You catch the toe pick, right? It's just on your face. And so she caught the toe pick and went, and I just got my arm, and she went down, but not down hard. She didn't fall headlong because I had her. God doesn't say we're not going to fall. God doesn't say we're not going to stumble. He just says, I got you. Well, you're trying to be righteous. And I had her, and she was scared. She's looking at me. I goes, that was a close one. Yeah. You all right? Yeah, okay. See, I got you. And so we finished. We got back to the beginning. I said, hey, you did it. You got all the way around. And she looked up at me. She said, Mr. Nestor, I don't ever want to do that again. Okay, I get it, right? But I had her. You know what? She was scared and she held on. And sometimes we're scared and we hold on. And we trust that God's just going to have to do it, and God's just going to get it done, right? So verse 25 and 26, again, we are reminded that the Lord provides our needs to the point that we can be generous. Verse 30 and 31, the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip. Pay close attention to this one. Some of you and people you know need this. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. 30 and 31 tells us something that needs to be characteristic about those of us who trust in the Lord. We are wise in our words. What we say is fair, and it's because we know God's word. We know the Bible, and we know what's right. When you speak, is it wise? Or is it reactive and out of frustration? We are only able to speak in wisdom when we do not fret. Too many Christians are freely offering up their opinions with no biblical wisdom. If you don't believe me, let me bring up maybe your Facebook page. Man, we are offering opinions out there and talking rashly, harshly, with no biblical wisdom and no grace in our words. And we need to be characterized by the wisdom and grace of God. And if we're getting all riled about the wrong things, you want to get fired up about Jesus Christ and let that roll out of your mouth. You can do that all day long. But what we talk about and the way we speak should say something about us. Verse 37 tells us to mark or notice the man or woman who is upright, who is godly, and who is righteous, whose life is characterized by walking with the Lord. Look at the way they live. Because someone like that has a future that is controlled by our great and mighty God, and it is assured. Go find out something about them. Go talk to them. So we're gonna wrap up here with these last two verses. They speak strongly for themselves, and they make a good summation, I think, of this whole psalm. Verse 39, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. The concern in the psalm is, what about the wicked and what they're doing? That's kind of what drives this. And this psalm sums up this way. Salvation is from the Lord. And salvation from the wicked is from the Lord. Salvation from their influence is from the Lord. Salvation from our sin is from the Lord. Wrongs will be righted. Maybe just not in our time frame we would like. Justice will be served and righteousness will be delivered from what seems to be the jaws and the grasp of wickedness. Man, wickedness got a hold on it. Maybe. If it does, it's temporary. This is a foreshadowing of our coming Savior, Jesus Christ, the coming Savior at this time, Jesus Christ, who will be the righteousness to those who believe in him, and he will deliver us from wickedness when we place our trust in him and we make him our stronghold and we run to him. Do not be anxious about the wickedness in the world. It should neither surprise you nor perplex you if you trust in the Lord God Almighty and you trust in him. It's out there. Don't go home and go, oh, there's crime today. Oh, my word. What day isn't there? And we act like we just don't expect it sometimes. It's there. It's going to be. It's the nature of the world. It's the nature of our world without God. And again, that's who we were before somebody told us about Jesus Christ and we accepted him as Savior. I'm way behind, man. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust and wait on the Lord. He is at work. Justice will be served and righteousness will be vindicated. I'm going to wrap up the psalm with a quote from a guy named William Plummer. He was a pastor and theologian in the 1800s. And he writes this about Psalm 37. I'm going to put this on the screen. There we go. He writes this about Psalm 37. Let the humble pious be content. If they have not much, they have more than they deserve. They have as much as an infinite love sees best for them. I love that. I love that last part. We should be content. If you don't have much, but you have something, you have more than you deserve. I know we don't feel like it, and you may be struggling, but we have as much as the infinite love of God sees best for you. God is not cheating you out of anything. And sometimes we act like, man, God is being unfair to me. I'm getting ripped off. And we're not. God can't wait to lavish what you need onto you. But we have more than we deserve. And we have as much as God's infinite love sees best for them. I think this is a great checkpoint. Do we trust God? Or do you feel he's cheating you out? Man, that's the wrong attitude, and you're seeing God in the wrong light. He loves you. He loves us. And you have what you need, and you have more than what you need. I'm not saying you're not struggling. I'm not saying that's not the case. But sometimes what I need is the struggle. So are you righteous in that you're following God? Are you righteous that you are committed to his cause? Or is your heart wholly his? If you would not count yourself among the believers and those who are disciples of Jesus Christ, if you've not placed your trust in Jesus Christ, why not? I ask the question here, why not? There's no hope in anything else. The world's not going to satisfy anything for you. It will not take care of anything for you. There's no place to go. There is no refuge. There's nowhere to turn but Jesus Christ. Let this be your day. This psalm is clear. Psalms 37 is clear. Those who are not committed to the Lord, you will be cut off. Your day of judgment is coming. Transgressors will be, it says, altogether destroyed. You will perish. That is the fate of those who are not in Christ. But the Bible says, 2 Peter here, the Lord is patient toward you. He's not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach a repentance. In Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'd like to talk to somebody today about writing that in your life, I'd love to talk to you. I'll sit down with Scripture and show you how you can go from being the wicked to the righteous. You can find yourself on the other side of this chapter in Psalms. Maybe you know somebody here. Maybe you came with somebody. Talk to them. There are lots of men and women here today who would love to sit down with Scripture and show you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you can be assured of your eternity, so you can know what things of eternal value are. Pray this will be your day. In the meantime, for us in Christ, those of us who trust in God, trust him, and this week, go do right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all you do for us, Lord. Thank you for your love you show us. Thank you for the gift of your word. I thank you for being a great and mighty God who has all things, even what looks like chaos to us. Lord, I thank you for reaching down into the chaos of this life and sending somebody that spoke the gospel to me in my life. Lord, I thank you for taking away my sins and giving me your righteousness and salvation. Lord, if somebody's here today and they don't know where they're at, Lord, I pray you'll not let them go. And you will hound them until they turn to Jesus Christ and find themselves on your side of righteousness, Lord. Lord, thank you for all you do. Thank you we can be here and look at this passage. Thank you again for your great love. And Lord, just be with the little bit what's left of our service here today. As our kids go back to school, Lord, help them be a light in the darkness and be a witness for you and give the praise and thanks in your name. Amen.